E1. Number 20, B.
We are engaged in spiritual consciousness, and in spiritual consciousness where everything is spiritual, I jolly well see that the whole universe fathers itself, therefore projects on itself, gives to itself, provides itself with all the ideas. And then I come to D, and I even go a step further. Then I begin to see also that the whole universe fathers me, or fathers every other one. It's a reflection that comes back, where I begin to see that in the one life there is that fatherhood sense, and in that one life all ideas express fatherhood towards me and towards every other idea. So that I begin to have a feeling that the whole universe does nothing else but provide me with all ideas, support me with all ideas, project on me only ideas, maintain me only with ideas, and that I am, so to say, carried or maintained or supported by the universe. Isn't that a terrific sense? You see, isn't it so that with these four aspects of relationship, A, B, C, and D, we really set right, correct, a attitude which pervades every mortal consciousness. Namely, that mortal consciousness which at A says, I'm no good, and finds all sorts of faults, what is not there with me. I rob myself of everything instead of providing myself. At B, it is that we enjoy criticizing the other fellow, that we like to run him down, that we like to say how bad he is, what is wrong with him, where he is not up to standard. At C, we have seen that it is the mortal consciousness which always negates, so to say, that the other one can take care of himself, that the other one knows how to take care of himself, how to support himself spiritually. And most of all, D, where we feel that the whole universe is anyway against me, that the whole universe has no interest in me, that everybody looks after himself and says, après moi le déluge, huh? That's the end of it. Huh? They are not concerned with me, that the whole universe just is not interested in me, does not support me, does not maintain me, does not give me what I need, is not sustaining me. Where is there someone who has really that feeling of this wonderful law in D, where he feels, I live in a universe and I know the whole universe has no other aim but to support me, to maintain me, to give me all what the universe has to give me? Who has that consciousness? But that's science. That's the logical derivation from that law. That there is a whole universe, and that whole universe expresses fatherhood to itself and to me. And if I ask naturally material sense and human sense, and say, is that so? Human sense will say, no, no, it isn't so. You are all wrong. And then I can make the mistake of giving up. But I make the mistake, not the universe. Because if I maintain the fact, which is a fact, that the universe are not people, not things, but the universe of ideas, then I know that these ideas, by reflection of life, are fathering me, are flooding me with all the ideas I need, are maintaining me with all the ideas that are needed to maintain me, are projecting on me all that I need in order to be me. So, can you see how this law, when you go through it very systematically, not just in a flimsy way, in a blurred way, just having a nice sense of Christianity, just loving each other, and trying to love each other, and trying to see the good in each other, or something like that. If I absolutely drop that sense of people, universe, and I see just one universe, that's the universe of ideas, after all, no person can do me anything good except through the ideas of good. As a person, no one can do me anything good. If he does something which is really good, he has to do it through idea, by giving me idea, or being motivated by idea. So I just let drop the whole sense of a material and people universe and begin to see there is only one universe, namely that universe which we have established through principle, mind, soul, spirit. That's the only universe. And then I begin to see that that universe includes men, namely life, truth and love, the family. See, that's why Mrs. Eddy speaks about the universe including men, because through principle, mind, soul, spirit, you establish the true sense of the universe, and the sense of that universe as family, as fatherhood, as sonship and motherhood is men, called men. But it would be better if we wouldn't talk about the term men, but just about these ideas. Just seeing, therefore, that each idea is fathering itself with all ideas, that each idea is fathering all other ideas with all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. That every other idea is fathering itself with all ideas. And that all ideas are fathering me with all ideas. With the ideas of intelligence, with the idea of guidance, with the idea of leading, with the idea of enlightenment, with the idea of vision, with the idea of substance, with the idea of reality, with the idea of unfoldment, with the idea of ordering, with the idea of purity. I am just, the whole universe is doing nothing else but giving me ideas, the ideas of joy, the idea of satisfaction, the idea of definiteness, the idea of integrity. You hardly get to an end when you begin to touch on that law. Can you see that? You know, I spoke about this law once before, and that was about 2 years ago or so, in New York, in the Christianity vertical. I also talked about this already, but perhaps only in a short way, and perhaps it hasn't made the impact it should have made. But I've met a few who have made that law a law of every day. And when I met them this year, they were just overjoyed and said, you know, that law has changed my whole life. My whole life. Well, it should. It should. Because this is really Christianity. It's really my life. Here we don't change God Almighty. And here we don't change the Christ idea. Here we change the outcome of the Christ idea, namely our being, small b, our being, by really discarding all material connotation, all human connotations. We discard the whole people universe. And all what we have is really that universe which God alone knows, namely the realm of ideas. But within that realm of ideas, we must see the laws operating, and not just say, well, God has a realm of idea and all that is idea. That's principle mind. And all these ideas are wonderful because they are identified with principle, and so each idea reflects each other idea. Then you must ask, what do they reflect? They reflect fatherhood, sonship, motherhood. In which way do they reflect? To itself, to others, others to itself, others to me. And I have a whole field. You just can feel how you cover a whole field without any loopholes in it. So that what it gives, if you try it over, say, 2 or 3 months every day, consciously, dearly, lovingly, if you do, you get a kind of feeling that you live in an atmosphere which you can no more really describe except that you say it's an atmosphere of really one life, one truth, one love. Because you have nothing else anymore but one life, one fatherhood, one sonship, one motherhood. With these laws we can really bring our human conceptions and human motions and motives into bondage and discipline them so that they can no more say anything, that they are just mute, and that the only thing that speaks then is only the divine idea. Only the divine idea. Let's take the next one. Instead of fatherhood of the idea, we can take the sonship of ideas. Again, we could ask ourselves, well, what does sonship mean? Because this is a biblical term, it's a natural term, we should translate it into abstract qualities. Well, sonship means that you really affirm what you are. The son affirms the heritage of the father. So it's a sense of affirmation. What does the son also? He claims what he is. Claims. He confirms, perhaps.
Realizes
it. It depends. That term realization has always such different connotations. On the realization you can mean that you become aware of it. But you can also mean on the realization that you make it real. Huh? So it's an ambiguous term. But it has that sense of truth, of sonship, of taking possession. Huh? Affirming, claiming, taking possession.
Inheriting.
It's inheriting, but it's more than inheriting because you are already a son and you claim your inheritance. Huh? Inheriting is a process, you get slowly something. Huh? But you are the heir. Huh? You are already the heir. And therefore you possess it. You claim your inheritance. Yes? Okay, these are the main points of it. And again, you can go through A, B, and C, and D. Just ask the others, you see. And what does it mean? We can quickly go and run through that law. It is there where under A we have the sonship of idea to ourselves. In other words, where I claim for myself the whole stature of manhood, I claim it. I affirm my whole stature of being. Can you see? I affirm for myself that I have all the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That I have the standard, I claim the whole standard of manhood. So that I do not do what? That I do not negate. That would be the opposite. To negate my standard by saying that I don't have it, all these have-nots and be-nots. It's a negating instead of an affirming it and confirming it, so that one inwardly has that strength and power of claiming the whole standard of manhood. You go to be, and you see that I have also to affirm in the other person, in the other situation, in the other occasion, whatever it is, to affirm everywhere that every idea has its whole standard of being. That every I affirm that the idea has it. I affirm that the patient knows that he knows. I affirm that the patient knows that he is whole. I not only just give him wholeness, but I also affirm in him that he knows what he knows. And therefore see right in C that he affirms to himself the whole truth. It's not at that point where I say, well, I see the truth for him, but he doesn't see it for himself. I affirm the truth for him, but he doesn't affirm it. He rejects it. He negates it. You have that very often, that the patient always has a negative attitude. That he always speaks of what he has not and what he is not. So you look away from the patient and says, anyway, a patient is not anything anyway, good or real. All that is real is idea, and each idea affirms its ideaship, affirms, claims that his idea, claims the standard of its idea, claims and affirms and confirms the whole form and stature and standard of the whole idea, of the wholeness of idea. Can you see, I just don't leave any loophole open. Do you say loophole? Yeah, open, huh? Therefore, in thee, I also see that everyone in the universe and everything in the universe, our continent and ocean, I know that everything affirms my standard, my manhood. No one can deny my manhood. No one can deny the beauty of my life mission, the importance of my life mission. Think of it, every one of you. Because there is no error, no negating ability or entity in truth. There is no negating entity in truth. Therefore, everything in the field of truth, every idea in the realm of truth is affirming my manhood, my whole standard of manhood. Naturally, this frees you of that sense that the whole universe is full of lions and I'm just in the lion's den and I just have to wait until they eat me up. Well, that's usually what the sense that people can have when they are in the open and in the front line of something. They just see only the enemy and what they can do to me, how they can destroy me. But in the spiritual, one just has that sense, no. There is a whole universe of truth, and that truth has infinite truths, and all these truths know me as truth. They claim me as truth, they affirm me as truth. There is nothing else going on. Can you feel how this, every loophole is closed? There's not one, no crack in it, through which some kind of negative thing, of some kind of error can creep in and just destroy the whole thing. We have a it's really a garment without seam and rent. Everything is woven into one web of consistency. That's why here in Christianity and in the textbook in Christianity, in the chapter on Christianity as Christianity, alone there you have that text of consistency and coherency. Because it's that. Only there you have the ocean and the water. There you have all these wonderful examples that a drop of water is one with the ocean, and the line of light is one with the sun, and the sun is one with the Father. You have that close coherence and consistency where there is not one crack in it. That's in Christianity as Christianity in the chapter, some objections answered. There are no objections anymore. That's Christianity, no objections anymore. See, that chapter in the Matrix is Christianity as Christianity and speaks always about consistency and coherency, that there is no objection, no loophole, no crack, nothing. Or let's take the motherhood of ideas. Which is love. So we can ask, what does motherhood mean in more abstract ideas? We can say, well, it is that which has to do with protecting, with cherishing, has to do with nurturing, embracing, preserving. Actually, I think we could take all those qualities which we had in life, in love, in Absolute Christian Science. Christianity in Absolute Christian Science, love, had all these qualities there. If you turn to that page on your loose leaf notebook, and you just have it there. And then you just can take those and just build them in again into A, B, C, C, D. It's that way. Where you feel, here we are in the realm of ideas where the motherhood of ideas is operating. Namely, in A, that I begin to see that in a real consciousness, I mother myself. What does it mean? I mother myself, I cherish my stature of manhood. I love my stature of manhood. I preserve my stature of manhood. I am full of promise about the stature of my manhood. That's what the mother does, A mother does. She is full of promise. She just sees, she anticipates the promise. Do we do that with our mission? That we just have the sense that I have to mother myself first before I can mother the universe. And so I begin to cherish my true manhood, to see the promise of my mission, to see the enormous impact of my mission. Can you stand in awe before yourself? If not, you have no motherhood sense to yourself. Because a mother can stand in awe before the idea. Who on earth has trained himself to stand in awe before one's own life work? If we don't, we have made a crack into that garment. We have torn it apart. And so we have to take B and C, that we mother every other one. That therefore we welcome every other idea. That we really protect every other idea. That we nurture every idea. That we plant and water every other idea. And then in C, we begin to see that everyone has that motherhood sense towards itself and is taking care of itself. Every idea is nurturing itself, loving itself, caring for itself, protecting itself, welcoming itself. There is no unwelcome child. Don't believe that. A great percentage is humanly unwelcomed, but divinely we always can welcome ourselves, always. so that we can see that we are the welcomed of the idea. And so in D I can see that, that the whole universe welcomes me. That the whole universe just sees my promise. That the whole universe is just thinking, how can I on earth just protect it, love it, stand in awe before it? Culture that. Can you see, only in this way, not in spasmodic ideas, just here a nice idea and there a nice idea, just here a situation where I give a true idea and there, but go through these laws very systematically. Then little by little, through that systematic sense, you really feel that there is but one atmosphere of life and truth and love.